I want you to turn to Acts chapter number 4. I think I'll just preach a little this morning. Acts chapter number 4. If you're there, say amen. Y'all got a Bible? Wave them at me if you do. I like to see Bibles. Lord God, there's a phone. Who got that phone? That's all right. I'm going to buy you a Bible. No, I'm kidding you. I'm glad you got your phone. I give y'all a hard time for having phone. Don't get no tweets while I'm preaching, all right? Acts chapter number 4. If you're there, say amen. Amen. I want you to, well, this is a great passage. The Bible said that being let go, now that's Peter and John, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and the elders said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. Somebody say amen. Which had made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before it had be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word of God, or the word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, somebody help me preach here, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Well, glory. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And this great power gave the and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus, and great grace was upon them. I'm glad I'm here this morning. I want you to imagine now the early church. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved at one time. How many says, praise God? You know, we ain't had 3,000 around here, but I want you to know something. This summer, we've had all kinds of folks being saved. We went back to soul winning almost every week. Somebody getting saved on our soul winning team. Somebody say amen right there. And then, not only were 3,000 saved, but then they had another service and 5,000 people were saved. Help me preach. And they had prayers answered. And by the way, if I'm looking for the church, for a church, that's what I'm looking for. Somebody help me preach. That's my crowd.
Right. Amen.
You know, everybody, and I tell you why they were rejoicing, and Peter and John got thrown in jail after the lame man got healed. Y'all know the lame man on the creeper that got healed and got up shouting and praising God. Then Peter and John got thrown in jail, and they were in jail for preaching the word of God, and they wouldn't shut their mouth about it either. I want all y'all to know something. Maybe this old man ain't going to shut my mouth about it. I've got a God that saves. I got a God that's on the throne. I got a God that heals. I got a God that's available. Yeah. Amen. They got out of jail. You know why they were put in jail in the first place, don't you? Because of the religious elite. I got to be honest with you. Jeff, I'm glad I'm not following the religious elite. Oh, you know, there's some people, their lot in life is to put down somebody else. God help us. God help us. My God, they got podcasts. I guess they're losers and they can't handle anything else, so they got to give them a little podcast and down everybody. Yeah. The big youth conference last week where many people got saved and people's hearts were changed. You know what they had to do? They'd get their little clip of it and make fun of it and mock it, mock songs. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not my crowd. Amen. I'll be honest with you, there's some independent fundamental Baptists not my crowd. There's some mean. They're legalists. They're hateful. Listen to me. That's not the God I'm serving. That's not the God I'm worshiping. My God's a benevolent God, a loving God, a kind God, and we ought to love one another. Amen. Then we got the reform crowd. You know, that's them guys says we got the doctrines of grace. All they are is warmed over Calvinists. They believe in a wilted tulip. Good preaching, Reverend. So what you might be thinking is, well, who is your crowd? How many of y'all like to know who my crowd is? See, they don't like this word, old. Old. Okay, don't like that. Don't say old timey, don't say old time religion, don't say nothing like that. But I want all of them to know my crowd was that crowd in the New Testament, and whether you want to call them old, whether you want to call them ancient, that's my crowd. So I'm going to worship like they are. I'm going to mimic them. Somebody help me preach. I thought I'd preach this morning on that's my crowd. Everybody looking for a crowd. I'll be honest with you. I don't mean to ramble, but I'm going to ramble a little bit. Some of these people in the IFB and some in the S, what is that, Southern Baptist, whatever you call them, they don't know what I am. See, I ain't in their little box. And I ain't going to get in their box. And by the way, you need not get in somebody's box and mimic somebody and try to let them dictate everything to you. Somebody say amen. Somewhere along the line, you're going to have to find your crowd and find what the Bible says and get with them crowd and do what the Word of God says.
Amen. That's good preaching.
And I know by me just preaching this morning, I'll be featured this week. Man, I tell you how desperate people are. Do all y'all know this? I know this is a big pulpit, and honestly, it got bigger than I thought it was supposed to. But do you know they make fun of our pulpit? And what they don't understand is I'm so fat, I need something that makes me look skinny. Who in the world? Who in the world would want to have church like that? That you're making fun of people's pulpit, making fun of people singing, making fun of people how they are. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to lift up Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to. Hey, this world's dying and going to hell. People need to be saved, and they need a crowd that loves God. So. I thought I'd tell them and you what crowd I'm with. Number one, Look at verses 24 through 31. Just follow the Bible. They were a worshiping crowd. Somebody say amen. And when they heard old Pete and John got out of prison, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is within. I'm going to tell you something. How many believe we ought to be worshiping people? Now, I know some of you said, well, I'm just not loud. Well, I'm not asking you to be a certain way. I know some people worship with their tears. I know some people like me shout a little bit. I ain't trying to put you in certain box. But I will tell you, if you've ever been under the spout where the glory come out, you'll want to worship God. You'll want to praise God. You'll want to lift up God. You want to give him glory for everything he done for somebody. Help me. You want to know who my crowd is? They are a worshiping crowd. Yeah. They worship him with their presence. By the way, you can't worship, ain't going to be here. Hello. Come on now, somebody help me preach. Hey, ain't some of you out there got your cup of coffee and you probably ain't liking this part right now. You done shut me down. You know why? You ain't here. You lazy. Boy, it's quiet in here now. Let me say this to you, boy. This is gonna be, hey, Wayne, I know you get in trouble for stuff like I'm going to do right here. I do too. Just let me say that a faith that won't take you to church will not likely take you to heaven. I want to tell you something. When I got saved, guess where I wanted to be? I wanted to be in the presence of people that were worshiping God. Hey, let me tell you, don't give me no excuse why you're not here tonight. And don't give me no excuse why you're not serving God. There ain't no excuse. Somebody help me preach. You say, well, I just don't like you all the time. I don't like you either all the time. But I, hey, listen, but I put up with you. I just thought I'd throw that out. Not only did they worship with a presence, they worship with a praise. I tell you what, I'm not much. Listen, I'm not much for man worship. I've been here 43 years and have never asked you to worship me. Don't worship me. You worship him. Look what it, look in verse 24. And when they heard that, when they heard they got out of jail, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, look, thou art God, which have made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in. You said, well, I just don't have nothing to worship at. I want to tell you, have you been, how many been saved here? Raise your hand if you've been saved. Then you got something to worship about. You got a creator. You got a sustainer. You got a savior. You got somebody to worship. Woo. Praise for God's person. And I want to tell you something. I don't mean, I hope I'm not too long this morning. But I want to tell you what. I enjoy the presence of God. Me and him, I can't hardly worship sometime around y'all because some of you are too stiff for me. I mean it. But every once in a while, I'll get up in my office. Ain't no staff there. Ain't nobody there to criticize. And I'll just let it rip. And I praise him. You said, what I praise you? What are you praising him for? I'm praising him because he redeemed me. He loved me. He saved me. He sealed me. He justified me. He sanctified me. He glorified me. Glory to God, I can't hardly stop. I praise him for his purpose. I want you to know, if you don't have a salvation that'll cause you to praise, hey, listen to me, I got a person in my life when I got saved. He came in.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you a question. What's happened to some of you? Have you lost the realness of it? Have you let some circumstance or something keep you from praising God? Let me ask y'all a question. What's he done wrong to you? I want all y'all to know everything right about me, it's because of him. They praise his person. They praised him for his provision. Hey, y'all know you say, how many know you say? He provided salvation for you. He paid your price. He died on Calvary. If you're here lost this morning, he died for you. He took your sin. He bore your sin. He went to the grave, and on the third day, he rose again. You can praise him for his provision. Verse 28b, you can praise him for his providence. For do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine. I don't know about you. How many of them in this room realize since you've been saved, there's been a God behind the scenes taking care of you? Could you imagine, look at me. Could you imagine an old boy like me who was a bartender's boy, had no clue what God wanted for my life? I thought it was athletics. I was signed to go to West Virginia University to play football, tried out with the Reds to play baseball. I thought that was my God. But I want to tell you, when I was 21 years old, hey, something happened to me. And then the big picture started opening up, that God called me to preach and God saved me and God put, well, Lord, somebody ought to praise him this morning. They worship with their prayers. Look at verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant all thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. They prayed for God's investigation. God, you know what's going on? Hey, y'all ever do that? Can I ask you something? Ain't y'all ever have something going on in your life? And you just say, God, you know what's going on with me? And by the way, he don't get mad at that. Because he'd really like to hear from you. Somebody help me preach. They prayed for God's feeling. Now hold a minute. I'm talking about the filling of the Holy Ghost of God. I tell you what I've done this morning. I do this, hey Jeff, I do this every Sunday morning. Been doing it for 43 years. Y'all don't know what goes on behind the scenes here. You just think you do. I came out this morning around 8 or whatever it was. I walked up to this altar. I did. And I said, God, fill me this morning. I want your power. I want your infilling. I want you to know, I know every one of you is saved. You got the Holy Spirit and you got it once. But I'm a little afraid that he don't have you. I need a feeling all the time. Somebody help me. And I'm not saying feeling like feeling. A filling of the Holy Ghost of God. Somebody help me preach. You know what? I say this, man, I'm lingering. Chad, I would say most of the folks in this church, and I love them, you're dear people. I wonder how many of you are really filled with the Holy Ghost. By the way, you wouldn't have the temper you got if you were filled with the Holy Ghost. You wouldn't be mad and bitter and angry if you was filled with the Holy Ghost. You wouldn't always point some finger to somebody. Why are you always blaming somebody else for something? Somebody help me preach. Hey, listen to me. You get filled with the Holy Ghost, you're different. In verse 30, they prayed for God's intervention. Let me ask you something. Somebody just help me here. Any of y'all in this room that God's intervened for you at least once? How many of you ever been in a spot when you didn't figure out how you was going to get through this. Come on now. And then God. I can't hardly stand it right now. And then God intervened.
Amen.
You say, well, I ain't never had it happen to you. You're missing something. Oh, I've been in places where if it wasn't for God's intervention, I'd have done been gone. If it wasn't for God's intervention, I'd done been out. But I'm glad for God that intervenes in my life. I could call on his name in prayer and he intervenes. Is he that real to you this morning? And they worshiped with power. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. You know, they people make fun of us because we pray about everything. We pray about jubilees. We pray about revival. We pray about youth conferences. We pray about everything. But I want you to know something. You'll never get a shaking from God unless you pray. I tell you what, this ain't been the easiest summer, but I want you to know something, friend. We've had things happen. Went down in Arizona, had several saved, and people's life were changed, and I would come back. They went to junior camp this week. You know, some of y'all's missing out not seeing your kids these things, by the way, and we're going to have teen camp for middle school and high school. You're missing out something, because we get these kids by themselves when they ain't got no YouTube and they ain't got no phones and they ain't got nothing, and just pour Jesus in them, and something happens. Amen. Had five saved this week. That may not thrill you, but it thrills me. Now let me go on. You say, what kind of crowd do you have? Number one, a worshiping crowd. Number two, verse 32, 34, 35, they were a working crowd. You know, most churches, you know what they do in the summer? They take off. Ain't gonna do nothing. We're having a siesta. You know what we've done this summer? We had a jubilee, a mission trip, a junior camp. We're gonna have a youth camp. We're gonna have a homecoming. You say, why? Because I believe the crowd that was represented in the Bible, the early church, they were working people. They went soul winning. Somebody help me preach. Yeah. They had a common love. They were one heart. You know what? Here's what I'm trying to get. I know I can't get everybody, but I'm trying to get a bunch of you just getting unity with one heart. Yeah. That means you're looking at things the same way. Right. By the way, this is a good crowd this morning for a summer crowd. But I'm going to tell you, come fall, we ought to fill this place up. We ought to have the choir full again. We ought to be working for God. We can't stop, ladies and gentlemen. We can't stop our witness. We can't stop our working. The early church, you know the crowd I'm with, they worked.
Amen.
Now, I tell you what, you don't work. You get mad all the time. Oh, you ain't done my way. They upset me. Lord God, what kind of religion is that? Supposed to have one heart. We ought to be in this thing together.
Amen.
Somebody help me preach. Then it said this, Chad. They had not only a common love, they had a common life. They had one soul. Now, I still ain't got all that yet. But all them together had one soul. Wonder what would happen if all of our teenagers had one soul. And all of our moms and dads had one soul. And all of our grandpas and grandmas had one soul. Somebody help me preach. Whew. Somebody called me the other day, said, I heard y'all think about building another building. And he asked me, said, how old are you? I said, I just turned 70. They said, why ain't you retired? You're supposed to be down at the beach somewhere retired. Now, I'll go down there every once in a while just to get away from some things. But I don't hate it. Hey, Peter went fishing, but he didn't go every Sunday. Good preacher, Reverend. I'm 70 years old, and I still got the mind of a 35. I still got the vision and burden of somebody that's young. I don't know if it's because I'm working with five knuckleheads that's only about 30-some years old. I don't know if that's why. But I love every one of them. And we have one mind, and we're of one soul, and we're working for God. And we're trying to minister for y'all. The result of their work was they demonstrated servanthood. Boy, look at this in verse 34. Neither were there any among them that lacked, for as many were possessions of lands or houses, sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold. They demonstrate servanthood. They demonstrate selflessness. When's the last time? How many believe that's the crowd you want to be with? Is somebody that's selfless, that helps, that cares? You know, Sunday evening, I about half got in the flesh. Anybody ever got half in the flesh? I say, you know, I don't know if y'all know what's going on. Them people that went to camp, man, they've been planning a year for camp. They've been working and storing up things, and they had everything ready to go. And somebody climbed over the barbed wire fence and stole a bunch of stuff. Hello? And at first, I was about half aggravated. Boy, it's quiet in here. But then you know what I done? I got on my knees and prayed for that old boy. Listen, I did. I prayed for him. You know, he's in jail, I hope, but I'm just hoping God reaches him there. I pray for him. Hello. You say, I can't do that. You ever become selfless? You can pray for your enemy. You can pray for anybody. And you'll love people that don't love you. I mean, I love a lot of people. I love everybody, but I know some of them don't love me. Well, that's all right. I'm going to love them anyhow. Because, see, that takes selflessness. Somebody help me preach. Am I preaching? I didn't know I was going to go through all this, but I thought I would. They demonstrated sacrifice. You know, I believe everybody ought to pay their tithe. Raise your hand if you believe that. But, ladies and gentlemen, there's more to what we do than just 10% of what you Oh, we ought to sacrifice. We ought to give above measure. But not only our goods, we got to give ourselves. If I leave a legacy, and I know I'm rounding third, Chad. I'm round third base. I just want somebody to say he was selfless. And he sacrificed, and he loved his church. That's the crowd I want to hang around with. I don't want to hang around busybodies and gossips and mean, bitter, angry, fussing people. That ain't what I want in my life.
Amen.
And by the way, I took a bath about July 3rd. You said, what was your bath? I went on Facebook. Because I just got tired of watching some of y'all.
Amen.
I just got cleaned up. I'm still off. I don't think I'm going back home.
Amen.
It just frustrates me.
Yeah,
to see people that saved have beer bottles in their house, act like little devils, dress like little witches.
Amen.
One amen. What has happened to us and our sacrifice? We don't want to sacrifice. Faith, some of you already planned not to be here tonight. You know why? It's going to take up some time. 1 hour. Let me give you the last thing. Look at verse 33. I'm done. We'll get done early. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. They were a witnessing crowd. You want to know the crowd I'm with? They witnessed the power of God. Whew. I want to tell you, God's done some great things here. I got to tell you this. Julie finally let me take my granddaughter on vacation. They got right with God. And I said, I'll get her down there. And I was teasing with her. I got in the pool and swam with her. I said, I'm going to baptize you. She said, I don't need to be baptized. I done got baptized. I'm saved. I said, I'm going to baptize you. She said, Dad, Papa, I'm saved. She's there. She's there at the table. We had food. And I said, won't you pray? She'd been a little hesitant doing that. Man, she started praying. Woo! This old man. I want to tell you, God's done great things. He brought that little thing in our life. He healed my son-in-law. He's been a God that's been faithful to somebody. And by the way, I'm going to tell people about him. The crowd that I'm with are witnessing people. That's why we go soul winning. That's why we run buses. That's why we try to reach everybody we can. Amen. They witnessed the power of God. They witnessed the provision of grace. I'm done. I'm going to ask you, how many in this room you've witnessed the provision of grace? I'm talking about saving grace. Is everybody here saved? I want you to know I got a God who wants to save you this morning. You know why you're here? He wants to save you. I'm talking about saving grace. But it's more than that. It's sufficient grace. Any of y'all got a thorn in your side? I had a preacher. I asked him the other day, you got a thorn in your side? Yeah, he said, my deacons. I got the best deacon board around, so I can't say that. I might be Chad. I don't know. No, I got some thorns in my side. I got this thing right here, this heart. It's out of rhythm. I take rat poison every day to keep it from getting blood clots. That's cumin, by the way. But I want all y'all to know I ain't moaning, because God's been strong in my life. He's been so loving to me and giving me so much grace. And me right now could praise God. You know one thing, at least you could praise God right now because of his great grace. He's been so good to you. Somebody ought to praise him this morning. Here's about how it's looked. Anybody in this room grateful for what God's done for you? Won't you come around the altar and tell God you're grateful? Anybody here that says, preacher, I want to be in that crowd that witnesses, and I want to be in that crowd. Come on. I want to ask you. Keep on coming. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, I'm not saved. If I die, I'd be in hell. But I want you to pray for me. Raise your hand if you're not saved. Hold up. You're not going to heaven. Raise it up. Come on. Folk are coming. Come on. God, I see that hand. Anybody else? I'm not saved, preacher. I need to be saved. Maybe you're a young person. Maybe you're a mom, dad. I'm not saved. I need God's grace. If God's been good to you, why don't you come around here and just worship him a little bit this morning? Be a good morning. Stand with me. Stand with me. Our Father, I want to pray for the lost. I just want to pray for church people that they get in love with you. They get in that crowd that loves God, worships, works, and witnesses. Oh God, help folks say, I want to be a part of the work of God. God, will you do it? Bless us, Lord. We'll praise you in Jesus' name.